As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be.
Oh man, it's 8 o'clock.
And so that'll make it a.
I don't need the spotlight. I shine just fine.
Hi, I'm Karma, and yes, I am a bitch.
Brav Bros.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Brav Bros, your favorite podcast from the bros for everyone, for whoever wants to listen. I am your co-host, Steel Russell, joined, as always, by the one and only Chateau Margoots. What's up, dude?
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Love that.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that one was pretty good. I've been holding on to that.
Yeah. Very topical for the Valley, which is probably... No, actually, I take that back. But it is probably the best one that we are covering right now. Yeah, see? Martha's Vineyard's fun. Summer House? Yeah, it's better than Summer House.
Wow. Yeah. That's big coming from you. Summer House is your baby.
I know. Summer House, we're going through it a little bit here.
It has hit a little bit of a lull, but that happens on these shows. Like, yeah. You get that mid-season lull, the late-season lull. The important thing is how they recover from the lull. We've seen a lot of good recoveries over the past... Like, we've had a lot of solid starts, lulls, and then solid recoveries.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful that they can bounce back.
I do wonder, though, does anybody know how many episodes there's going to be in the Valley? Because it's a new show.
10.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think it's going to be pretty low. I don't think they're going to go too deep into that. No, obviously, Summer House goes like 15-ish, and then plus the reunion, which will end up being like, they might do a 3-part reunion for the Summer House just because of the Lindsey Carl stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I hope that they don't overdo it with the Valley. I hope we never hit a lull because I don't want to see this cast in a lull right now. They're humming.
I don't think they will lull because, for better or worse, they have, like, serious shit going on.
Very serious shit.
That's what's making this show good is there are definitely moments where I'm like, all right, like, Kristen's doing a lot. She's admittedly said, you know, I had to bring the mess to make this show successful, as she's going
bring
to
it.
Do. But, like, the one-on-ones we're getting amongst couples and stuff, that's real. Like, that shit's real.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Kristen aside, Kristen is a professional mess maker, if you will. And she's doing a good job. I don't think that it's overproduced either. I was afraid that it was going to be really Jax and Kristen heavy, where they're just overproducing constantly. Instead, there's a lot of shit happening, and we're thinking maybe they're involved in it behind the scenes, but we don't really know because it's not playing out on camera. And there's even some moments where you can see, like, Jax and Kristen kind of showing a little bit of restraint when things pop up instead of just blurting things out. So, look, I mean, it's really surpassed all of my expectations.
Oh, it's blown my expectations out of the water. Like, it's not even close, but, yeah, I would, oh, man. How did we get here?
I don't know, man.
That's crazy.
Better to just not ask those questions.
That's a good point.
Enjoy where we are, you know?
Yeah, good point, but... Let's dive right into this bad boy. Before we get there, we are getting close to our May 3rd show in D.C. is at Union Stage. We have Candace Dillard coming out, Chris Bassett coming out, Ryan Bailey coming out. So go get your tickets. Come hang out with us. It's going to be a blast. We're really looking forward to it. It's about time we got back up there, dude.
Sure is.
I'm jonesing.
Jonesing?
Jonesing for the stage.
Love a little Jones.
Yeah, but let's not dilly-dally. Let's jump into the Valley, shall we?
We shall.
That rhymed. You're not even... I'm
sorry. The Sixers are playing in the playoffs right now. I'm just making sure that we know what's going on in the score.
So we can
Sixers are up 6 in the third.
Okay. I like that. I would like a little bit more of a cushion, but it's okay.
Okay.
How's JoJo doing?
I didn't check the rest of it. I just wanted to look at the score.
All right. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
As we said, if you listened to our last episode, there is a play-in game going on right now, whether or not the Sixers will make the playoffs. So, look, our attention is fully focused here. We got a quick score recap, and now we're locked in. Don't you worry. But let's dive into the Valley. Oh, and I forget the rhyme now.
Shall we?
No, that was the end of it.
Yeah.
There was the beginning of it, before the Valley.
Oh, I don't know, man.
Let's not dilly-dally. Let's get to the Valley, shall we? So let's jump in. We got kind of a jumbled start. It was hard to take notes on it, but... The premise of the first scene, Brittany and Jax are talking. Everyone's cool now. Like, we've had a lot of shit pop off. It seems like they've reached a point in the group after Kristen brought up the comments made allegedly by Michelle and that whole thing. They've at least reached a place where they can, like, attempt to move forward or at the very least be amicable with one another. But that sets the stage for the rest of the episode. And We get a quick cut to Jesse and Michelle, and they're packing, or Michelle is packing for this girls' night out in Malibu, and she's like, oh, Adidas, and shows Jesse, and Jesse's like, oh, that's great, babe. Doesn't even look up from his shirt.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of just paints like their relationship as a whole in that one moment. We get Luke and Kristen talking about sex, as they always do.
Sex and weed.
Sex and weed and making babies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, one of those three things. They're going to discuss it. And so we get more sex talk from them. We get that clip of them like walking in. We didn't make it to the bedroom. And there's like a massage table in the living.
Got seven dogs in this house.
It's cool. Like, you guys have a healthy sex life. It's
congrats.
Great. I don't want to talk about it every week. Maybe I'm getting old. I don't know. But I don't want to talk about it every week.
But I feel like a lot of people would share that sentiment.
But we find out that the crew is splitting up. We're getting a ladies' night, and we're getting a dude's pool day. And Brittany's, her temperament, like, she's trying. And she, I feel like she's trying. And I have my opinions on Brittany this season, and, you know, they're not always good. But when it comes to their relationship in general, like, she's trying to have a positive disposition with the whole thing. And everything she's saying is met with just like grumpy, negative Jack's washing dishes. And she's like, oh, you excited to hang out alone? And he's like, yeah, you should go out and have fun, this and that. She's like, but then you get mad at me. And you get like a clip of her hungover. And I imagine, as she says, that Jax goes out way more than she does and probably is a mess the next day.
Yeah.
She's hungover. And he's like, you need to fucking stop drinking and like blah, like getting on.
You want
to
have another kid. You're not even going to be around for this kid. Like, yeah, shit like that, dude.
Shut up.
And I know what Jax is doing, too. Jax is deliberately not going out when he knows that they're filming.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he's trying to paint this picture of himself that he doesn't do anything.
Super dad.
He even started it during the VPR episode when we got that crossover. And he goes, you know, part of me just wants to go in there and just rip a bunch of shots with Shortsy and stay out till 4. But I don't do that anymore. And we're like, fuck you. Yeah, you do.
No, reverse that. He says, I can't stay up past 10:30 anymore. It's not my thing. And then flash to him in the car saying, man, I don't want to leave. I just want to go in there and rip shots till 4 a.m.
Yep.
So we know you. You haven't changed, sir.
No
one thinks you have.
You're not fooling anybody.
No. And now, obviously, they're not together or they're living separately. And Brittany's going on podcasts now and talking about their relationship and how not fun it was for her. So that's the only part of the show that, like, I'm not loving. It's just because he's full of shit. He's very clearly full of shit.
See, I'm not even, I mean, now I'm reading into it because we're talking about it, but right. When I'm watching it, I'm not thinking any of that.
No.
Just watching.
Just watching. That's
having a good time.
It's a good place to be, but we jump to Janet and Brittany, and they're headed to the girls' day in Malibu.
Yep.
And they're driving down, and
it is Nia's friend's rental in Malibu.
Yes. And the only reason I wrote this scene down was she's a Zillow sleuth, and I know people like this.
Uh-huh.
Are you one of these people?
No.
All right, good. I'm not either, but I do know people that will
not
be
because
like,
I don't care. It's just because, well, it's because I don't care.
Yeah, I don't need to know like what your house costs or anything like that, but I do know people like, ooh, like I checked on Zillow. I'm like, oh, that's kind of an invasion of privacy.
I know a lot of people that do that, but I mean, I also get it if you're driving through a neighborhood and you see one, you're like, well, that's a really nice house.
I
wonder what it looks like inside. Yeah, that's completely fine because you don't know those people. When you do it to your friends and you go over, you're like, well, I wonder what they did.
Especially when you're like, I know what you pay in taxes every year. Yeah. Like, it's like, all right.
That's too far.
You can look at the house.
You're getting out.
But,
yeah.
You know,
you can look at like the before and after pictures and be like, wow, it's really beautiful in here. What did it look like when you bought it?
Yeah, like that kind of stuff.
That works. Fine.
But they get to the house, and it's Nia's friend's rental house in Malibu, and all the girls start showing up. It's a sick house. But the whole goal of this night is a bonding night. Mm-hmm. We're going to get back on track, everybody. Everything's going to be fine. But obviously, the elephant in the room is that Janet and Brittany both are worried about Kristen and Michelle. Like, are they going to be able to mend this fence and at least move forward in a little bit of a way? They do keep it amicable the whole time. I guess that's the word of the day, is amicable.
Yep.
But they do keep it friendly the whole time. But this is when we get the scene of Brittany hungover. And she highlights, like, if he does it, it's fine. Like, he can be a mess the next day. I take care of the kids, and, like, he's a disaster. But if I do it, that's a problem. And Janet points out, I'm a little concerned that every time Brittany's drinking right now, she's getting hammered.
Yeah.
She also points out, but she is married to Jax. I think that it's one of those where, you know, and obviously I can't speak on to what her drinking habits are, but to me it seems like when she is finally able to go out, she has all this pent up shit and she's just fucking balls to the wall.
Yeah, she's trying to merge like three missed weekends into one night.
Three missed weekends, multiple frustrations in her marriage. Like, Jack's treating her like shit. I can't imagine the stress that puts on you. And then when she finally gets out, she's like, whew, we're fucking going.
Yeah.
Like, once that first sip hits, it's like, boop, game on. But this should show you immediately where Michelle and Kristen actually are, because Kristen's checking in with everybody when she gets there. She's like, yeah, you know, I took the test. I'm not pregnant yet. We are trying. Michelle's confessional was sneaky one of the meaner things I think I've heard. And it was said so nonchalantly. She's like, please don't have a kid. We don't need more of you around.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa.
This was a huge turning episode for Michelle, where we were talking about, all right, you know, maybe Kristen's going a little too far when it comes to Michelle. Maybe there's some sneakiness going on in the background. Janet's talking shit on her and she doesn't want to cop to it. Whatever might be going on, Michelle might not deserve this. Watching her this entire episode, I'm like, ugh, she kind of sucks.
There's definitely, I don't know if I have that same sentiment.
I think she's nasty, yeah.
I think that she has a different side to her. I don't think she sucks. I saw this differently.
Okay.
That's interesting.
All right.
Yeah, I saw it a little bit differently than you did, but we'll get there. But we get to the paint goals and like what your intentions are. Michelle's is to love myself, my family, people around me. She's clearly going through it, and that's why I can't say that she sucks, because I think that her demeanor is a product of her environment right now, and their marriage is such a shit show.
I just don't think we know, we were very quick to jump on Jesse because his behavior that he was portraying in the first couple episodes was awful.
Right.
So very clearly, he's not a good dude.
He's a piece of shit.
We didn't see anything from Michelle because we were just like, oh, she's downtrodden because Jesse's a piece of shit and he's treating his wife terribly. But we don't really know what Michelle's actually like. And I don't think that her comment about Kristen not having kids was taken out of context. I think that's directly in context with how she feels and how she looks at other people.
Well, I think that was...
I don't think that's because she has a bad marriage.
No, I think that that's because Kristen called her a racist.
Kristen just repeated what somebody else said.
Yeah, but she's the one that brought it to national television and brought it up. I think that that's a warranted reaction. It's kind of fucked up, but I don't think it's fair to paint her as a villain.
I don't know.
She's very unhappy in her marriage because Jesse is a piece of shit. I think that he bounced after COVID because he was back in the free
world. Look, I'm not
saying
that Jesse's not a piece of shit. I'm just saying I am going to hold out on judging.
Then hold judgment. I don't think it's fair to say that.
I said I'm starting to think that she was pretty nasty this episode, so I can say that. But I'm starting to think that maybe she's not a good person.
I don't know. I think it's a product of her environment because I think Jesse really sucks. But regardless, Kristen's thing is peace. I don't know what you said. I don't give a fuck. But Kristen said her intention is peace. And, you know, we can all be more empathetic. And I try to lead with empathy. And I am an empath in nature. And it's like, roll the tape.
Yeah, you're not.
You never have been.
We have 10 years of footage of you
literally
not being an empath.
No.
This is not an Erica Jane learning what empathy type of thing is. This is you saying that you have empathy and you do not.
No, none. And that's okay.
Is it?
No, I mean, in this space, in reality TV. Right. No, not as a human. No. No, you should have some. But I think it's more all I could think about was Erica Jane having to.
I just said that.
I'm so brain dead that I thought about that earlier and I was like, I need to bring that up because this happened before and you just said it as I was reading a note. So I apologize. But yeah, that's exactly what I got. She needed to be in that therapy session with Erica so she would understand what empathy is. But even the group's like, all right, dude, come on now. They're all laughing at it. And we get to Nia, and I thought this was a very emotional episode for her and a very touching episode in her sharing her battle with postpartum. She's like, you know, I'm not okay, but I put on a face, and this postpartum has been hitting me really hard. She's like, I didn't have the baby blues with my first kid with the twins. However, I can't seem to bounce back, and I'm trying really hard. I'm trying to verbalize it. It's hard to verbalize it. I thought the producer's question was fucked.
Dude, yeah, what the fuck was that?
It was so weird. Oh, so all the feelings that you should be having, you're actually having the adverse feelings. So instead of being lovey and happy, you're miserable and sad. Is that what postpartum is? It's like, hey, guy, fuck off.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
And then when she says, can I have one? You go, what's that? What's that? You need a moment? What's that? Back off.
Yeah.
She's opening up about postpartum. And you're like a dude trying to be like, So that means you're just fucking you're, miserable?
He just, a producer just mansplained what it was to her. Much.
It was such
a, and I then
was...
asked her to open up a little bit more on that. Like, no.
She
just leave it. Yeah. Like,
what a weird moment to put in there. But she does say that the group really helps and the group commends her. It's like, look, you're out and about. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing to try to get through it. Like, you're doing your best and that's okay. Like, it's okay to not be okay. And she's working on it, but I appreciate her sharing her journey with it. But this is when we flash over to Boys Day. Daniel's out. The AC's out. And that's all I could think about was, woof.
Yeah.
You got the baby. You got three babies.
Three under two.
Three under two in an 89-degree house in L.A. That sounds tough. That cannot be a good time.
Yeah, no.
So he's out. But we check in with Jesse, and he's like, therapy's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. And he has to point out, like, oh, when, and this is the stuff I'm talking about, where I'm like, ah, that's shitty. Like, I don't care where you stand with your wife, but he's like, he points to Isabella, and he's like, when she's with me, this is what she's like, chill, mellow. When she's with Michelle, she's a fucking kamikaze. It's like, you don't have to say that.
No.
You don't have to take digs at your wife when she's not.
She's present. Not even there, and you're doing it on fucking national TV. Not only that, but, like, we don't stand behind dudes that talk shit on their wives when it's just a dude's day.
Yeah, no.
Like, what is that?
It's a weird move. It's a really weird move, but
yeah.
But then we flash back, we get the check-in with Michelle, and she's very honest. She's like, I'm more unhappy than happy over the past 3 years. And that's what we find out. Like, during COVID, by necessity, Jesse was home. So he was hands-on, he was involved with the kid, and this is why I'm not painting her as nasty, because I would imagine that this would cause all sorts of problems in the relationship, because COVID, present, attentive father, husband, all of those things. As soon as the bars open up and freedom once again in LA, you can go out and about, he's gone.
Yeah.
And leaves her left to try to deal with the kid and try to parent the kid. And he's MIA.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see his behavior now, it's like, yeah, he's popping champagne at noon. And he just seems not checked into it. So while he seems to be the one that's like, I want to give this a go, I really want to make this work. At the same time, it's like, yeah, but your past actions, it may be too late to fix it now. Just because, like, you want it, you should have shown that before. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm not saying that she's blameless. I don't know. And then we're going to find out more about everything, I'm sure, as the season commences. But I see more coming from him than her. But he does say, like, I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to get through it. And we find out that Michelle had applied for an apartment and was going to leave. And then there was a conversation about giving him a second chance. So now he's giving her space. They're trying to figure this whole thing out. We find out now that they have not figured it out. They're getting divorced.
Yeah.
Because in this scene right now, she's like, I'm thinking about leaving again. And the fighting's unhealthy for Isabella. He's an amazing father. But us together, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think the writing was on the wall. Especially when you see that scene with them at the end where, like, he's like, you want to hug it out? And she's like, she doesn't even like touching him.
Yeah.
Like, he was like head buried in the shoulder. Like, sentimental moment, and she was staring out the window. And I made sure I looked at that and, like, saw where her hand placement was. But going back to the boys, this is, you've kept this from me.
I've kept this from you.
We've discussed this beforehand. I asked you, I was like, did you find out the director? And you smirked, and you said, I need your real reaction, so you wouldn't tell me.
Yeah.
Who is it?
So let's play the scene a little bit here.
Okay.
So as Jesse says to all the boys, Michelle has gotten into this routine now where all of a sudden she's going down to the chateau. And you know me, I love the chateau. I live really close to the chateau. If we have to hear the fucking chateau one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. But Jesse goes on to say a little bit more and he says, yeah, she's down there like every night. And someone else chimes in. I believe it was Jason first or Jax. And they had to blur the name out. They had to say, oh, is she still hanging out with that director? Beep, beep. Might be someone. Who knows?
They even blurred the mouth.
They blurred the mouth. They did everything they possibly could. Bravo sleuths are out there, of course. Turns out, in that moment, while Jesse keeps going through all of that, and I do want to talk about something else about this scene that I noticed, there is a very famous director. It's down to two people. You know both. Do you have any guesses of who it might be?
Give me an age range. Are we talking old, middle-aged, or newer?
Middle age.
It's not like Steven Spielberg.
It's not Spielberg. No, no. Okay. Give me another good guess, though. I'll give you one more. No hints, though. Middle aged. You've seen probably all of both of their movies. Lean towards action.
Michael Bay?
Michael Bay is one of them. Michael Bay is one of them. Yeah. No. So Michael Bay is one of them, and the other one is even funnier. Who could be even funnier than Michael Bay?
Oh, fuck.
It's not like anyone who's, well, he was up for an award actually probably last year. Quentin Tarantino.
No.
That's the number one answer.
Well, action wouldn't have got me there.
Well, he does some action. He does, like, action. Well, action was for Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Well, I figured you might get that from Michael Bay.
No.
I should have said Linkin Park for Michael Bay. But anyway.
Tarantino?
Quentin Tarantino is the number one answer because people found out that he likes to frequent the chateau. And when he's in L.A., that's where he likes to go. So it makes sense that he would be there as much as possible.
We need cameras on that.
We need cameras on that. Obviously, he would never sign off on that, but we need cameras on that.
Because he's a weird guy.
Uh-huh. Very weird guy. So, yeah, as they continue the scene and they're talking, obviously, we get into Luke and his confessional, which I want to talk to you about because that's weird. Do you think that Kristen put him up to that answer?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I think so, too. I think 1,000% he went into that confessional and Kristen's like, all right, you're going to just drop this weird line in there and say, it's just really weird because I know something that could blow everything up. Seems unlike Luke to do that based off of how we've seen him so far.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think it was a plant. I think it was a Kristen plant. But he's more volatile than I thought he would be. Mm-hmm. Like, he's quick to jump into certain scenes, which I appreciate because, like, that was my biggest concern with him on TV. I was like, can he hold his own, especially with this crew? He can. But yeah, this moment, it didn't seem natural coming out. It
no.
felt like forced. And
not only that, but also when he's sitting in the pool next to Jesse, as soon as he even opens his mouth and says, do you think that there's something, like, is there a way for you guys to get back? You could see Jesse, like, look over and, like, snap his neck and, like, stare at him for a mm-hmm. second. And then he answers.
Well, I don't think he likes him.
He definitely doesn't like him.
At all.
Yeah.
No. I don't think a lot of the dudes like
him. I think Luke is finding his way into this group, and he's just kind of, like, merging into the back, you know, being nice to the nicer guys. He can be friends with Danny. He can be friends with Jason. But he's never going to be close to Jax. He's never going to be close to Jesse.
That's okay, by the way.
Which is fine. But yeah. I would prefer that.
Yeah,
honestly,
you don't have
if I was
to.
Luke. Yeah, don't get close to the other two. But you could see that. And not only that, you could see Jax make a face. Jax 1,000% knows.
Yeah, he knows.
Whatever this bombshell is, whether it's Michelle cheated on him already and everybody knows about it, or there's more going on and she's already looking at or maybe locked up an apartment, she's going to move out. Whatever the bombshell ends up being, Jax and Luke both know.
The bombshell is that she's texting other guys.
Yeah.
Because we get that clip. We've gotten that clip already.
Mm-hmm. I think there's more to that. I don't think that they would leak that out, but
there. Yeah, you're probably right.
I think there's another step to maybe. It, yeah.
I don't know, but like the whole scenario of her and either Michael Bay or Tarantino is weird. Like mm-hmm. you're hanging out with them for 9 hours at the chateau.
And I get it from like the real estate aspect, being like, oh, this could be a really good client.
I feel like
for
that's
me.
An easy fallback to
easy
say
fallback.
That.
Like, yeah.
I get it, but at the same time,
it could also just be what Jesse's telling himself so that he doesn't get all riled up.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point because Jax also says, like, this is what he does. Like, he gets uncomfortable about a situation, he starts to make a bunch
cracking
of
jokes
about
yeah.
it, and like that is what I got from it because I don't think he's cool with it. And that's what I do like that Luke like points out very obvious things sometimes, like, well, you know, I think that if you know my girl was drinking with a guy for like 8 or 9 hours, like I'd have a problem with it. It's like,
yeah,
thanks Luke,
appreciate that.
We got that,
yeah,
from what was happening, but thank you for being so obvious with it. But he seems somewhat not bothered, and that's when like the bombshell thing happens and Luke clumsily, it was almost like a Ken moment where he's like, is there, you know, what if that did happen, like could you guys get back from it? And he's like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Non-negotiable. And Luke's like, I really can't say it. Later on, I'm just gonna jump to it right now, his reasoning, I'm like, that's why? So you can tell your daughter that your wife fucked it up?
Yeah.
Like, that's...
And it's the kind of guy that Jesse is.
Yeah, it's not a competition, buddy.
No.
Like, either figure it out or you don't, but you don't place blame on your wife.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's...
The whole thing is very awful, yeah.
Bizarre. But we get the ladies playing Truth or Dare, and... Have you ever pooped in a body of water?
No.
I haven't either. My cousin did once, but thinking back on it, he pooped into a Gatorade bottle.
Is that a body of water?
Well, he was in the stream when it happened. We're tubing, okay? It's the summer in Pocono, so we're tubing. We may have, you know, indulged in a few beverages.
Uh-huh.
He had to poop.
Okay.
He pooped into a Gatorade bottle.
Impressive. Did he get in the water and poop into the bottle?
Well, as we're floating, because our butts are in the water, you know, I guess he like, shimmied the pants down and pooped and put the water bottle or the Gatorade
that's
bottle.
An aim.
This is a good question, though. This is a good game. I'm gonna continue with the poop talk for a sec. When you're in a relationship and you're in a hotel, you have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Do you use the lobby bathroom or do you just go in the bathroom? I've done both. But it's
mostly in the room, though.
I've done a lot of lobby ones, but not so much because I was uncomfortable. It was more out of respect. It's like, yeah. I don't want to do this in the room, so I'm going to go downstairs.
That's fair. No, I think I've used the lobby one more on like a boys trip when you're like both in the same room. You're like, all right, yeah. We just had like 15 pounds of barbecue. I'm going to hit the lobby one.
I need a separate vestibule for this.
For sure. Yeah. And that's a respect thing too. It's just a little different.
That's
but. Hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
They get to the age-old question, when's the last time you had sex? And Brittany's response is a month and a half. And she starts going through it and says, you know, I want to feel like I'm still attractive, but my husband constantly puts me down, which we see, and the hangovers and all of that stuff and like looks and her drinking. And she's in his corner and she's supporting him.
Yeah.
And she's not getting in return. If you watch the scenes, I mean, I thought it was a small, quick scene, but you saw a lot in their scene when she's going to this girl's night because everything she's saying is just met with like, ugh. Like fucking leave already.
Yeah.
Like, we got it. Like, get out of the house. And you get the clip of him chasing her around the house with the kid in his arms saying, fucking stop drinking. Like, well, you're a mom, blah, 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 all that nonsense. So I would imagine she's in a very dark place. And it's like, yeah, you're married to Jax Taylor. Like, he hasn't changed.
No.
He hasn't changed. And I imagine being back on TV, this is only going to get worse and worse. So we get a 911 text from Daniel about the kids, because again, they're in an 89 degree apartment and Jasmine says, you know, she does need this night. And I agree. And this is like a rock and a hard place.
Yeah,
because I firmly agree. And like, but Daniel strikes me, and again, we only see, you know, 5 episodes of these guys so far, but he strikes me as somebody that knows that because he seems pretty in tune with what she's going through.
Yeah, no, he definitely does. I think that when it comes down to it, they're the number one couple on the show.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
They're the number one couple across many shows.
Yeah, definitely. And look, I mean, if he was doing this while she was on a girl's night and it's the first time that she's been able to get out of the house for a long time, I think that he probably would have held back a little bit. But there's extenuating circumstances, so he texts her. And I think she was going home that night regardless. I don't think she was staying.
Oh, was she?
I think so, because she said, I'm going to have to get out of here a little early, so I'm just going to get my stuff. So maybe she was planning on staying a little later and then ended up doing it. I don't know really what the circumstance was, but Nia didn't seem to mind it too much. I think she understood what was going on. It was a dire situation, so she went home. I think he's fully in touch with what's going on. I think he's there emotionally for her. I think the scenes that we get, and we get a little scene later where she's kind of walking him through what she's feeling, I think he's fully there for her. I have no reason to think the otherwise.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the vibe I get at least. But the morning after, Brittany's hungover as fuck, like absolute mess, and she should have drank the Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
You got to get that first one down. You'll feel so much better. Push the hangover off. But that's the thing. She can't push the hangover off because I can't imagine having anxiety because you're driving
back. Going back to Jack's.
Yeah, and he's going to rip into you because you had a big night after he told you to have a big night. And we see that happen later. But we get Daniel and Nia talking, and they're like recapping the girls' night thing. And they get to like the sex talk and all that stuff. But Nia relates to a lot of the things that Brittany is saying, and she starts to cry. And she's like, you know, I just haven't felt like myself since the kids, and I want to be happy. I really want to be happy. I'm trying. And she's like, you know, I don't want to say that I'm depressed, but, and he calls it out. He goes, you know, you're high-functioning depression. And she's like, well, I can be okay when I'm not. And she gets to her confessional, and that's like the diagnosis is high-functioning depression, which is a serious thing, and I'm glad that she's able to talk about it, especially with her battle with postpartum. Again, I hate that the producer asked her that question previously, but regardless, you see Daniel do what a lot of husbands on these shows don't. He says, "You're not alone. I'm here with you. We'll get through this. I understand you're going through it. It's hard, but I got you." And like, it's just nice to see what should be most marriages.
Yeah.
Oh, it should be, sorry, all marriages.
All. Yeah.
But it's nice to just see this moment and be like, all right, not all of these dudes are garbage pails. That's nice. And you got Jason as well. Jason seems in tune with his wife. Like,
yeah.
Thank God for those couples.
It's normalcy.
Especially on this show.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Valid question, though, for you. I never thought about this. I imagine you treat them the same way as real teeth because you're talking about a gum issue Years. Now.
Yeah. Do you brush them? Yeah.
How
definitely.
Often do you brush them? Same, right?
Same. I would assume the same.
It has to be the same.
Still going to be food in there, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, if nothing else, you don't want to have bad breath.
One and two, like the gums. I just feel like the gums.
Also, yeah, you probably still do build up some sort of, maybe it's not tartar, but
it's got to, why would it be different? Is that
black or anything? It's probably because it's not teeth.
Who's got veneers?
Yeah.
Can you let us know?
Maybe we're not equipped
what's,
to answer this
what's
one.
What's the veneer protocol? How do you veneer?
I don't know.
How to veneer?
This is how I imagine it works. I think you do need to have some upkeep, but I think you probably have to go back to whether it's a dentist or whoever the hell does it. To get them like bleached or colored or whatever every once in a while.
The venereologist? That sounds like something different.
Yeah, that sounds way different.
That sounds gross.
That sounds like you have an STD and you need to get it cleaned up.
Yeah, I don't care for that.
Chronic STD problem.
Let's not say that word again.
Venereologist?
Yeah, that one.
No, that one's going to stick.
Yeah.
That's the one that's going to end up sticking.
That's
yeah.
our dictionary word that we're going to get in. Oh, that's a bummer. That's what we're going to be known for. But Jackson and Brittany are recapping the night, and he's like, "Oh, you drink a lot. You came home throwing up." And she's like, "You told me to have fun. I did, and now you're mad. And you do this all the time, Jax." He's like, "Nuh-uh. Just last night, the boys came over there out by 8:15. So-and-so said, do you want to go out?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm going to show him a good time. I'm going to go out with him." I went out with him till 10:15, got home. We had some drinks here, went to bed at midnight. So you got drunk.
Mm-hmm.
You went out, continued to get drunk, came back, had a nightcap, and then you passed out. That's no different. Just because your hangovers look better.
Yeah.
Does not mean that's a different scenario.
T-Pain said it the best. Got drinks to drink. Got drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Drunk him and drunk him. But his reasoning for everything, like, sucks. He's like, "I'm a little worried. She's my wife and a mother. Like, we need you. You're going to destroy your body." What's the difference between you getting fucked up and her getting fucked up? Why does he see that as, like, two separate things? Because
especially because she's the one who's away and on a girl's trip, if you will, even though it's just for one night, and you're supposed to be watching the kids.
Right, so why...
So you went out when you're supposed to be the sole responsible person for those kids.
Yeah, you left her with Brittany's mom, or was it Jax's mom?
I assume it's Brittany's
one
mom.
One of their moms.
Always Brittany's mom, yeah.
It's always Brittany. So again, it's like, why, because she's the mother... And going to destroy her body? Are you talking about future children?
Yeah.
Like, are you talking...
Look, I get it if all he was doing was saying, when you do go out, don't overdrink and don't come home and start vomiting everywhere. But that's not what he's doing.
No,
it's Jax.
He's saying don't do that, period.
He's
and
just,
also...
It's just hypocrisy.
Well, like, just because you don't vomit doesn't mean that you don't... There's no way that Jax doesn't come home plastered.
Yeah.
There's just no
there's
way.
There's just no way. In no world, yeah.
Why is he putting all the onus on her? Like, you need to be clean and straight. I'm going to continue to fuck around, but, like, you need to get your shit
together.
Yeah,
I know.
It's such bullshit, but they're recapping Jesse and Michelle and their sex life and all of that stuff, and Jax is like, "Well, how deep did you get into it?" She's like, "I told him, like, we haven't fucked in a month and a half." And their conversation thereafter is, like, I don't know. It wasn't terrible, but I also
it wasn't terrible, but
I thought he was trying to say the right things. It didn't seem genuine. He's like, "You know, it's a lot of my fault. Like, I get in bed and I'm just exhausted, need to rack out, and I'm super stressed out." And it goes, this just shows you how much it's eating away at her, because this is a separate thing. They're talking about the sex life, but it leads to, "Yeah, I know you're stressed," because then you take your stress out on me.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 15 things going on in this one conversation about sex.
Yeah.
It just shows you. Like, he's got her in a mental pretzel. And again, mm-hmm. Brittany's not my favorite. I think she does a lot to produce and, like, overdo it sometimes. But you can't help but feel bad for her here, because, like, fuck, I can't imagine trying to talk sense into this guy.
Yeah.
Like, have a normal conversation about how you're feeling and have it reciprocated in a genuine fashion where he's actually hearing, understanding, and processing instead of, like, yeah, but...
And it was, but it was one of those conversations that they, like you said, they went through a lot of different things, and I don't even think they were realizing that they were talking about that many different issues that they have in their marriage. And it, obviously, it does come back to not having sex. Like, if things aren't right in your relationship, you might not be having sex. That's just how it works. But it was one of those conversations that ends with those awkward jokes.
Yeah, should we do butt stuff?
Should we do butt stuff? Like, oh, Jax, you're so funny. It's like, yeah, no. And anytime that I see a conversation like that where it's a hard conversation and you get through all of it and you feel like you're saying the right things, and then when you end it with a joke, nothing's going to come of it.
Nothing was accomplished.
Because it's not, now all of a sudden, it's not a serious conversation. You just lightened up a conversation that you needed to have with a couple of jokes at the end because you were uncomfortable.
Yep.
So now you're just going to push that conversation off for another month and a half.
Yep, that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he says, like, the D word doesn't exist in my family. I'm very curious as to where they stand right now, because that's the thing. We know they're separated, living in separate homes. As far as what their future is, I haven't heard a lot on divorce or like full-blown like legal separation.
Honestly, we thought that it was all for the show, so we might be a little behind the eight ball on this one anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious like what the end game, not game, but like where they're going.
Yeah.
Is it ending in divorce? Is this just like a big split and they figure it out? Like, I don't know. I have no idea. But the way she's talking on podcasts, like she's very aware that he treats her like shit. So I'm curious. I want to see where this ends up.
Yeah. But
the last
season two.
Yeah, maybe. But the last scene, do you think we're going to get season two before we get in the last scene where it's her Airbnb and Jack's at home?
Yeah, absolutely.
You think that's going to happen?
I think we're going to have that. I think that Michelle and Jesse are both going to be on the show and they're going to be figuring out dating.
I do too.
While doing split custody or whatever might be happening there. I think it's going to be a completely different show and it might be better.
Oh,
and that's
going to
be great. Yeah, we love messy though.
This
with these people, I'm
so
okay with messy.
Messy.
As long as Kristen and Luke are good, because I'm starting to at least like them. We know what Kristen's doing, but we like Luke. We like Jason and Janet for the most part. I still think that Janet's a little sneaky and she was involved in that whole conversation where it came to Michelle. But for the face value, we like the two of them, and we love Danny and Nia. So
yeah, they're great.
The three of them can stick together. The other two messes, I want to see that unfold.
I agree, which is fucked up to say, but that's why we watch these shows. But Jesse and Michelle are the last scene, and they're recapping everything and the therapy, and you know, Jesse brought it all up. I will agree with you, what you said earlier, just as far as this is a different side than we've seen entirely.
From Jesse, both of them, yeah.
From Jesse and from Michelle, yeah, because you get an actually emotional Jesse, which we have not seen yet,
mm-hmm.
and you get a very cold Michelle. And I think that as I'm watching this scene, what I take from that is not that she's nasty or anything like that. It's more so like, I think that she was in a place to try before. I think that he wasn't delivering for an extended period of time after the baby was born. And I think that they've reached a place where she's like, I don't think I care enough anymore to try to make this work, and I can't fake it.
Right.
That's what I get. I don't get that she is the villain in this thing. I get much more that she's just done. Like, she's fed up, and where he wants to try and make it work for the family, for Isabella, whatever the reasoning may be, I think it's too far gone in her mind where she's like, I don't like you. I do not like you because I hold on to this resentment that you abandoned me with a kid.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. And I think for the first time ever, I felt a little bad for Jesse because it looked like he was trying and he was actually emotional about it. And Michelle was just completely tuned out. And you might be 1,000% right. It's just too far gone, and she's already made her decision that she's done with him. And if he's the type of guy that already got a second chance, we don't know what happened the first time around. They don't go into the details of why Michelle wanted to move out in the first place.
Right.
Because that, I feel like we kind of need to know if Jesse was doing all these things during COVID and then all of a sudden he just started popping out and doing everything when it opened back up. I guess that wore down on her and she decided that I'm going to move out. Okay, fine, whatever. You gave him a second chance. He probably performed well for maybe a month or two and then went right back to his old shit. So that's all kind of adding up. It's just tough to watch scenes like this.
Yeah.
When marriages are falling apart. And look, we don't root for it, but it makes for great TV. So we'll have to see how it unfolds and we'll have to see how Jesse's reaction is. Because, again, he is emotional in this scene, but he's still also talking shit on her to his friends.
Yes.
So pick a lane. Like, you don't get to do both.
I don't know. And I'm genuinely curious. I hope they both come back because I want to see them
mm-hmm.
out of this marriage.
Yeah. I agree.
Are they better people? Is Jesse not such a piece of shit when he's not in a marriage he doesn't want to be in? And vice, because I think Jesse wants to stay together simply for...
Just for Isabella.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that Michelle has reached a point where it's insurmountable and wants to do her own thing. And I think it would be refreshing to see her in a better light where she's not weighed down by this whole thing. And I'd be curious to see if Jesse is still a full-blown piece of shit or if he's just an arrogant asshole, because there is a difference.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. I hope they bring them both back next season for that reason. Time will tell.
Time will tell.
I would imagine that they will extend the offer because they're both delivering.
They definitely are, yeah. I mean, you can't write the history of this show so far without both of them.
No, I think everybody on this show is bringing it. Like, I don't have...
Need more from Jason.
I could... Yeah, and Janet, but also, really. They're not on the screen as much.
I know.
And
that could also just be because of the way that they wanted to frame the first season. Just being like, look, we're going to have a lot of Jax. We're going to have a lot of Kristen. Oh, shit, there's a marriage falling apart. Let's focus on them, too.
Right.
And then the other ones just kind of get left out a little bit. But we'll see. I give it a little growing pains. Wait till next season. And hopefully they're both back.
Yeah. Yeah, time will tell. But let's get into those questions. Wrap this bad boy up. Because I still have not reacclimated from being in Italy for 10 days.
Italia. M. Norino asks, are we watching playoff Sixers? We sure as hell are.
Yeah, we are.
We're watching the game cast and driving steel crazy.
Yep. I get it.
Annie McDonald says, over under, Michelle cheated on Jesse. I guess it would be 0.5.
Yeah.
Be over under a 0.5.
Man. I don't know. I do not know.
Yeah.
If she did, and this is fucked up, I hope it's with Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, so do I. Savor This asks, do you think Michelle and Jesse separated before the season, but still had to fulfill their contracts?
That's actually a very interesting premise.
That is a really...
No, I don't.
I don't think so. We're getting some raw emotion right now, so
yeah,
I don't...
but that could also be if they're forced to go back and film together and they haven't... I don't think so, but I think that that's plausible.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it would be impossibly tough to go film with somebody that you just separated with.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's more they were kind of teetering as it was, whether or not Jesse wants to admit it. And
let's get through the season.
The scrutiny of being on camera and having to film scenes together and do all this kind of drove them apart, which we've seen a million times before. Mr. CJ Harper asks, do we feel that the cast needs the VPR veterans moving forward?
No.
No. I don't think he means like an influx of other ones.
Oh,
I think
Jax
he means Jax and Kristen.
Yeah.
I think they definitely do.
Yeah. It's, look.
We can answer both, but yeah, I think they absolutely need Jax and Kristen. I don't think that they need the influx from VPR.
No, I don't think they need the crossover, but look, you can say what you want, man. They're delivering.
We'll do one more from RM Lays. Thoughts on Luke after watching him on the show? He's more toxic.
That's what they said?
Yep.
He's more toxic?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I haven't gotten toxic yet.
I haven't gotten toxic at all, honestly. I do think
I've gotten more volatile.
He's definitely way more volatile. I think he's done a better job of keeping his emotions in check now, but it looks like we get another blow up a little bit later.
Jesse's in a space. What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
It reminded me of Step Brothers. Yeah. You look like you want to punch me in the face, but you won't.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely gonna happen. But no, I think that Kristen's pulling the strings with him in his confessionals, probably. But I mean, at some point, like, Kristen can't control everything, and he's got to be on his own at these boy days at the pool. I think he's doing a pretty good job. I don't think he's really being toxic yet.
I haven't gotten toxic from him, though.
No, I think he's been probably coached on how reality TV works.
Puppeted a little bit, sure, but toxic.
Sure.
No. We'll call it out if we see it.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's all I got. You got anything?
No, I'm pooped, man.
Pooped.
I'm a pooped little potato right now.
Pooped in the body of water.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a feat of, I don't even know what the word is. I said strength earlier, but that's
willpower, probably.
That would take a lot of willpower, but I felt for her. Man, there's just sometimes, there was an old baseball rule, you get two a year. You can shit your pants twice a year.
Well, yep.
That's a bigger problem in baseball than people know.
I would imagine it would
be. Especially when you play hungover at like 10 a.m.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you look,
well,
word of advice, don't do a bunch of Jaeger bombs until 3 in the morning before a 10 a.m. game in Myrtle Beach.
I guess an adult diaper probably doesn't look great in baseball pants.
I would wear it. There was one time at Ohio State, I warmed up in the bullpen, and the pitcher was going into the game. And as he stretched his leg up over the fence, this man pitched in the major leagues, by the way. I won't say his name. But he put one leg over the fence, and as he did, he just went stone cold and looked at me and goes, "Oh, God." I was like, "What?" He's like, "I just shit." I was like, "What?" He goes, "I just shit." And he had to go in to the game and pitch three outs.
Oh, God. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That takes willpower.
And this man pitched in the major leagues.
Wow.
So maybe that's what you need.
Good for him.
Yeah, but.
Glad we got that story out before the end of the episode.
Me too. You get a late little anecdote.
A nugget?
The late little nugget.
Yep.
Rob Bros out here.
See ya.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's DANA, on your podcast app.